In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, your fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. Last Sunday was pretty amazing, right? It was Easter, the day our Lord rose victoriously from the grave. And so not only did we get to celebrate a victory, and who doesn't love to celebrate a victory? Not only was the organ at full blast and the trumpet was blaring, not only did we get to sing those great Easter hymns, but on top of that, church was packed. During our second service, it was full, about as full as it's ever been in my 15, 16 years here. There wasn't an empty pew. People were even sitting in the front. It was wonderful. Do things seem a little different today? For it's not Easter. And while we're still in the Easter season here at church, it's not the actual day that our Lord rose from the dead. And unfortunately, for some people, maybe even many, the luster or shine of Christ's resurrection has worn off a little bit. It's proven by the fact that there's not as many people here as there was last week, and it really isn't even all that close. And so why did you come back? Why are you here on this week after Easter? For why, week after week, why do you keep gathering here in church? Well, Jesus actually answers that question in our text. For as he appears to the disciples on that first Easter evening, he actually shows us why week after week on the Lord's Day we gather here. For notice on that first Easter evening, notice that Jesus appeared to his disciples. His disciples didn't go to him. They were scared. They were hiding behind locked doors out of fear of the Jews. But Jesus went to the disciples. He went to the disciples to take away their doubts and fears. For when Jesus went to those disciples who were filled with doubt and fears, what did he talk about? He talked about peace and forgiveness. For his first words were, "Peace be with you." And those words are so much more than a hello. They are so much more than a greeting. They are so much more than the hippie saying, "Peace, man," which is a wonderful wish, but it really has no power to do anything. Instead, when Jesus said those words to these disciples who were filled with fears and doubts, when he said those words, "Peace be with you," those words, they actually gave the disciples what they said. They gave the disciples peace, true, actual peace, for they gave the disciples a right relationship with their God. After all, that's why Jesus did everything he did that past Holy Week. This is why he rode into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. This is why he instituted the sacrament of communion and was betrayed on Holy Thursday. This is why he was nailed to a cross and died on Good Friday. This is why he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. It was all to win for you peace, real, actual peace with your Father in heaven. For without the work of Jesus, you wouldn't have peace. You would only have fears and doubts, for you would be an enemy of God. For not only would you still belong to the devil, as all of us do by nature, but more than that, you wouldn't have the forgiveness of your sins. And if your sins aren't forgiven, how can you have peace with God? By the work of Jesus, you really do have peace. Your fears and doubts are taken away. You are no longer an enemy of God, for not only have you been freed from the devil and brought into the family of believers, but on top of that, you have real, actual forgiveness. forgiveness that removes all your sins from you, both now and forever. After all, that's how Jesus continued with his disciples when he appeared to them, right? For after he showed them his hands and feet to prove that he really was alive, he began to talk about the keys. He began to talk about that special power and right which Christ gave to his church on earth to forgive the sins of the penitent, but to withhold forgiveness from the impenitent as long as they do not repent. Remember that from your catechism days? For Jesus said these words. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whenever you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. Whenever you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." You see, Jesus didn't want that proclamation of peace to end when he ascended into heaven. He wanted to give people who were filled with fears and doubts peace. And so on that first Easter evening, he instituted the keys. That way, when any Christian, but especially the called minister, when they proclaim to you that they are forgiven, that you are forgiven, that forgiveness is as valid and as certain as if Christ our dear Lord was speaking to us himself, as our catechism states. For through the keys, Christ appears to you, speaks to you, and gives you peace. And if that's what happens through the key, specifically through the loosing key, if Christ is appearing to you and speaking to you by giving you peace, by giving you the forgiveness of sins, well, then do you see why week after week, regardless of what Sunday it is, do you see why we keep gathering here on the Lord's Day? For you see, our service is not designed to give you a bunch of rules and regulations, instructions on how you are to live your life. It is good and necessary to hear the law of God at times, right? But that can never be the main focus of our service, because no matter how hard you try to follow these rules and regulations, you can't do it. You are a sinner. Nor is our service designed just to have a lot of fun and fellowship together. Again, that's a wonderful thing. Companionship is a wonderful blessing from God. I'm glad we have so many friends and family members here at church, but that can't be the main focus of gathering here on a Sunday morning, because no mere human being can give you peace and forgiveness. Instead, this service, week after week, it's designed to do one thing and one thing only. It's designed to do exactly what Jesus did with his disciples on that first Easter evening. It's designed so that Jesus can appear to you, speak to you, and give you peace by giving you the forgiveness of sins and peace that you need week after week. For you see, just like those disciples on that first Easter or Thomas a week later, you have doubts and fears. You may not be doubting whether or not Jesus really is alive. You might not be afraid that you're going to be put to death because of your association with Jesus, but you still have doubts and fears. Week after week, you have doubts with fears. For you wonder if your sins have separated you from your God, because the wages of sin is death. You wonder if you're going to be overrun by the pressures of this world, because it is a big, heavy burden living in this sinful world. And you're wondering if the devil is going to devour you, for he is that prowling lion who is waiting for the perfect, opportune time to attack you and devour you. And so whatever is on your mind, I know you have doubts and fears just like those disciples. But then as you have all those doubts and fears, you gather here week after week. And when you gather here, Jesus appears to you. You don't go to him. That's not why you're gathering here. You're not gathering here to convince him or to prove to him that you are worthy to be saved. The disciples didn't do that on that first Easter evening, and you don't do that week after week. Instead, you gather here week after week so that the resurrected Jesus can appear to you. In fact, when the resurrected Jesus appears to you through his word or through his sacraments, he is just as physically present as he was with those disciples on that first Easter evening. I know I've been talking about this a lot, but it's amazing. It's amazing to think about how present our resurrected Lord really is. And when our resurrected Lord physically appears to us through the words or through the sacraments, what does he talk about? Just like on that first Easter evening, he talks about peace and forgiveness. For just think about how we start off our service week after week. Every week, we begin our service with the words, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And we don't just say those words to let you know who we're worshiping, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, though that's true. But we also start off our service with those words to tell you why you are able to worship him. It's because those words have already been spoken over you. They were spoken over you at your baptism. And when those words were spoken over you at your baptism, God placed his very name on you. He pulled you out of the devil's grasp, and he placed his name on you, saying, "You are my forgiven child. You have been bought by my blood. You are mine." What a wonderful reminder those words are. And then throughout the rest of the service, whatever it may be, whether it's the confession and absolution or the readings, whether it's the sermon or communion or the blessing at the end, throughout the rest of the service, Jesus just keeps appearing to you. And he keeps reiterating that same promise to you, that promise that you are at peace since all your sins have been forgiven. For do you remember the power of the keys, that special power and right that Christ has given to the church? Our goal week after week as we gather here is to use those keys, specifically the loosing key, the one that forgives your sins. That is simply our goal week after week. It's for Christ to speak through his called servant to give you that forgiveness that is as valid and as certain as if Christ our dear Lord was speaking himself. For know this, when that key is used, the loosing key, the one that forgives the sins, when Christ appears to you and speaks that peace to you, all your doubts and fears will go away. And you really will be at peace. You don't need to worry about your sins any longer. They've been paid for by Christ. You don't need to worry about the pressures of this sinful world. Christ is with you, and he will protect you. And you don't even need to worry about the attacks of the devil, because you don't belong to him. The name of the triune God is on you. You are your Savior's. You are protected. Yes, whenever Christ appears to you week after week in every part of this sermon service, he is simply proclaiming to you peace and forgiveness. And if that's what's happening, do you see why you gather here week after week? Because for you, it doesn't matter what Sunday it is. It doesn't matter if it's Easter Sunday or the week after Easter. It doesn't matter if you have a busy life with a lot of things going on or if your schedule is relatively free. It doesn't matter if it's spring, summer, fall, or winter. You keep gathering here week after week. For whenever you gather here, Jesus will appear to you just like he did with those disciples. And he will speak to you just like he did with those disciples. And he will give you forgiveness and peace just like he did with those disciples. He does it week after week. And whenever the resurrected Jesus appears to you to give you peace and forgiveness, all your doubts and fears are taken away as you rejoice in the truth that you have forgiveness, life, and salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith using the words of the Nicene Creed as found in the bulletin.